Previously on the Backside of Water.
Harrison Holmby, we're finally hanging out at the happiest place on Earth.
I know, Alex Stewart.
Are you the Backside of Water group?
We sure are.
Well, I was informed that you and your listeners are going to have your own boat.
Now off with you.
Okay, hold on. It's pronounced Lafitte.
Well, not in my world. So let me get this straight. The hillbilly we just passed is actually a retired pirate, and now we are on a journey into his memories of piracy?
According to what I heard from my Disney training, that's the story.
He comes seeking adventure and salty old pirates, eh? Sure, you've come to the proper place.
It's pretty dark, Al. I don't remember it being this dark.
Dude, you're right. Yeah, something's
not right.
Definitely not right here.
Something's not right.
What's happening?
Something's not right here.
Something's not right here.
Something's not right here.
Harry, are you okay?
Are we still on episode 8 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions?
Yeah, we are, man. I think we went down the second waterfall and landed straight into Act 2 of our Pirates of the Caribbean episode.
It seemed a lot scarier than usual.
You know, I'm trying to figure out why that was, and I think that I've been able to put two and two together, and it's because we each ate a dozen dill pickles before we rowed, and I'm pretty sure that raised our anxiety levels through the roof.
Well, anyway, I'm thrilled to continue the nautical adventure we started in Act 1 of Episode 8, where we rode the Pirates of the Caribbean. Our Pirates episode followed the linear journey of the attraction. Now the grave warning of a pirate's voice echoes through the air, saying,
And the water cascades off the rocks in a forlorn lagoon. A deadly sword fight left a skeleton pinned to a boulder while the other skeletons lie in the sand where they died seeking treasure with their last breath.
I love this open lagoon area.
Fun fact, this is the only part of the attraction that's underground.
I bet we're at least 20,000 leagues under the ground.
Actually, it's more like 3-ish feet underground.
Really?
For sure. Remember, when you enter this attraction, you're entering on the second floor. Then, through a series of drops, you find yourself dropping for what seems like forever. But actually, it isn't that far. When you walk behind the show building for this attraction, and the area of New Orleans Square in general, you see that the berm that surrounds the park is really, really high. In some areas, I would say it's between 20 and 30 feet high.
That's insane.
That, my friend, is Disney genius.
So we spend the rest of the attraction 3 feet underground, right?
No, sir. By the time we reach the pirate ship, we're going to be back above the Earth.
Wow, that's kind of sad that we're not underground for that long.
But here's the awesome part. Every show scene we're going to encounter underground, quote-unquote, is a show scene that features the skeletal remains of pirates. And right as we rise up out of the ground, we will see real live pirates again.
Meaning?
Meaning that all the time we spend underground is spending time with the pirates who are dead and buried underground.
That is insane and awesome and...
I have to say that I can't say for sure if the Imagineers planned it this way or not, but with art like this, as with all art, we can see those little bits and know they were inspired either consciously or subconsciously.
I love this iconic scene of the skeleton at the helm in front of us.
Now, that's said to be the first reanimation of the aforementioned pirate's resurrected memories of piracy. And now as we round the corner, we're going to see...
I love the pirate skeletons! You know, Al, there's a rumor that some of the bones in this attraction are real!
I know!
My sources say that using real bones was the only way to get the look Imagineers wanted in 1967. They say that to this day, the skull and crossbones mounted atop the captain's bed are... real.
I was told that also during my tenure at Disney. I'm so jealous of that person's bones.
If this is true, this is my new life goal. Get my skeleton on a Disney pirate ride. I don't care what kind of hardships or troubles I face while I'm alive, it would all be worth it.
I completely agree. There have been a few modifications done throughout the attraction over recent years to make the experience fall more in line with the film franchise that was inspired by this miraculous place. For instance, this room is now filled with the cursed treasure from the first film in the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, The Curse of the Black Pearl.
Oh, I see the pile of coins in the corner there, and it looks like they're spilling out of the chest that Captain Jack Sparrow and Captain Barbossa fought over in the film.
That's the one. You know, we're going to be seeing more of these updates as we get further into the attraction.
Hey, look over there at that thirsty pirate. Al, I wrote this with our bud, Tiki Chippy, and he informed me that that was one of his favorite things about this attraction. The effect used for that gag is amazing and always satisfies. That old bag of bones never quite quenches his thirst, but I don't care because it entertains.
Hear, hear!
No fear have ye of evil curses, says you. Properly warned ye be, says I. Who knows when that evil curse will strike the greedy beholders of this bewitched treasure?
Those famous words! That voice was originally the only thing that filled this cavern, but again, after the release of Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, they added that seemingly holographic face of Davy Jones who responds to the disembodied voice, crying out in the darkness.
To be honest, man, this is my least favorite part of the attraction. I feel like the addition of this effect takes the audience out of an attraction that's frozen in the late 60s and adds a forced marketing tactic. I have to note that I think Disney rarely does that, but this is one of the overt uses of that tactic, and it kind of taints the quaint nostalgia that makes this attraction so iconic.
What? I'm a fan of it. I think it's right in line with Walt's vision of pushing the technological envelope on this attraction. Plus, it adds more of that wonderful fog smell that is so intoxicating. My least favorite part of this attraction is that it's not in my house. I would love for this thing to be the hallway that connects my living room to my bedroom.
You know, I actually used to think of that as a kid, that I was like, this is something that I really want. If I get rich in the future, I want to have a house just like Pirates of the Caribbean. And every night, I have to get on a boat and ride it to my bedroom. And I didn't think about the fact of, what if I get hungry in the night? Then I have to ride a boat back into the living room and grab my snack and then ride a boat back to my bedroom and go to bed again.
Or somebody tries to burgle your house, just like slowly floating toward your
Give
bedroom.
Give me 10 minutes and I'll be there to get you. In the meantime, have a snack. Now, I will agree with you that the effect itself is cool. Like the rats in the Indiana Jones adventure, this isn't a hologram. Instead, it's an image being projected onto a thin veil of mist that makes it look like a giant face on a waterfall. And now, it's not the effect itself that I hate. I kind of think that it's the Davy Jones aspect of it. He's just kind of randomly thrown in there. It throws the entire story off kilter, doesn't add anything to the story, and it's just simply so you can see something that that you're going to see on the big movie that came out in, like, 2008. I digress. But this waterfall marks the point in our journey where we leave the world of skeletons and enter...
Break your colors, you blooming cockroaches!
Real, live pirates. Watch out for those cannons!
Dude, this is one of the most thrilling sequences in the entire attraction. The attention to detail is what makes us feel like we're in a battle between that band of ne'er-do-wells and this seemingly Spanish fortification. The captain up on the ship is Captain Barbossa. He replaced a more generic Blackbeard-esque pirate after the release of the films. They may have updated the attraction for franchise relevancy, but the Imagineers kept the pirate's famous opening line. Also, notice the cannon effects in the water to our right side.
I know they're not really firing cannonballs over our heads, but the airburst that makes the splash in the water always makes me want to duck. I love it. Hey, Al, during my time undercover in this attraction, I lined up an interview with a pirate on the Wicked Winch, the boat that is firing cannonballs right now. Let me just dial him up on his pirate clamshell phone thing. Hang on.
Ahoy, who goes there?
Ahoy, Jim Hattondale, it's Sour Gums here.
Sour Gums?
It's a long story.
Fire the aft cannons, mateys! The crew and I be in the middle of sacking the Spanish fort with Captain Barbossa.
That's amazing. Can you tell us more about what made you decide to become a pirate?
Hold your gum, Sour Gums, I'm coming down. There, now I don't have to yell down to ye like a mannerless sea slug. Piracy is the only honest trade for a thief and a liar. Hoist the chest into the bilge, Marty! Mind the doubloons!
Wait, did you just say Marty? Captain, do you have a pirate named Marty in the crew?
Aye. What of it?
Marty is a terrible pirate name.
Shut your blathering gob. The meanest, burliest, hairiest pirate sailing these seven seas, Marty be. Round some parts, children be checking their closets, not for the boogeyman, but for Marty. Who be this scallywag who offers insult to Marty?
That's Al. He's my co-host.
Well, Al, if Marty and me ever find your black soul, we'll turn your rotten guts into shark bait.
Marty, Marty this, Marty that. Do you ever talk about anything that isn't Marty?
Arr, by thunder and blue fire, you'll rue the day your mother spawned ye. I'll send you with me service to the devil. I'll flog ye and feed ye to the sea.
Harry, I'm getting cursed by real pirates.
Alex, why don't you quit pushing this Marty thing? Don't you think it's a bad idea to taunt a pirate?
It is a bad idea to taunt a pirate. It's always the way we talk, or our hats, or our peg legs, or something ye landlubbers would never understand.
Wow, Captain really started early on the rum today.
Not all pirates like rum, ye bilge rat. Sure, I had some before this raid, but only because I was too drunk to find the port. Burn it all, Harry. Burn it all, Sour Gums. If I ever see ye again, I'll stuff your face full of me boot, ye salty, crusty, jelly-kneed, scurvy brain, bucket of
chunks. Goodbye, Captain. That interview did not go well.
Dude. I think it went great. He was cursing at us in pirate, and he was all tipsy. That was amazing.
I wanted to ask him hard-hitting questions about what motivates him. I wanted to get a snapshot of a pirate on the high seas.
Dude, that was like interviewing Marlon Brando in 65 or something like that. You did it perfectly.
Well, thanks. And I have a backup interview lined up as well. Once we get to town, we'll talk to the town mayor getting dunked in the well. Hey, now that we're past the ship, the horizon line on the left side of the boat gives this area a sense of depth and scope not felt in any other Disney attraction, save maybe Space Mountain. I especially love the Force Perspective Lighthouse. And look at the two men's shadows up there on that wall ahead of us. Why, they're swashbuckling. What else?
Indeed they are, Harry, but that isn't how it's always been. Believe it or not, at one point, a shadow of Mickey Mouse swashbuckling was the main feature up there. But since then, the shadows of those two characters have replaced the beloved Disney mascot.
So this place had a hidden Mickey, but it doesn't anymore?
Well, one less hidden Mickey. Stay tuned for where the location of the others are.
Okay. Well, now that we've passed that attack, we are heading into a port town somewhere in the tropics.
Hype the lubber aloft, matey! Speak up, you bilge rat! Where be the treasure?
Do not tell him, Carlos! No!
Man, the level of realism with the audio animatronics in this attraction blows my mind.
I know. We covered the birth of audio. That's hard to say. We covered the birth of audio animatronics in our Enchanted Tiki Room episode, but these are far more complex than the ones used in the Tiki Room and even Mr. Lincoln down on Main Street. They look so realistic that back in the day, Life magazine reported that, quote, Disneyland's amazing robots must have posed quite a problem for actors' equity. They can do practically anything human actors can except receive fringe benefits and draw overtime.
That's hilarious. I can totally see that, though. These audio animatronics are so lifelike that it's kind of scary.
Totally. At the time, actors were concerned that one day they would be obsolete because of Walt Disney's slick new technological advancements. And I can kind of see their concern. The attraction opened with 64 human figures and 44 animals. It was an army of robot pirates and animals. Gosh, I love that I have a reason to say that sentence.
Dude, we're coming up to the mayor right now.
Hey, here's our guy. Hey, welcome to the backside of water, town mayor getting dunked in the well.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Is this a bad time for an interview?
Oh, no, not at all. As long as you don't mind that I'm answering questions from Treasure Seekers Weekly. I told you, I don't know where he is. No, no! As the mayor, I try to stay in as many papers as I can.
Wait, the guys dunking you in the well are also journalists?
Tenacious journalists, yes. And they've been interviewing me for almost 50 years.
Am I in scurvy cur he be? We be illiterate pilots and that there mayor be trying to save his public image because he be a yellow dog. Where be Captain Jack Sparrow?
I will not talk!
I think it's time to give the mayor another wash. What say ye, lads?
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't take any more of your time. And enjoy the rest of your evening.
Thank you, sirs. And be sure to vote for cleaning up this town.
That mayor sure has a handle on the situation, doesn't he?
He sure does. It's hard to find effective leaders these days, so I say good for him.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, there's another Pirates of the Caribbean film installment. Up there on the shore, you can see Captain Jack's tiny dinghy he floated on in The Curse of the Black Pearl. And there's Captain Jack, hiding amongst the women's fashions.
It sure is. And that Captain Jack is another example in the advancements made with audio animatronics over the years. His movements are much smoother and way more realistic. I think the Imagineers really did a great job incorporating Pirates of the Caribbean film franchise characters into the attraction without making this feel like it was converted into a movie ride.
I completely agree.
Harry, we're coming up to my favorite scene, the Take a Winch for a Bride auction.
This part is pretty controversial.
Weigh anchor now, you swabbies. What be I offered for this winsome wench?
But the scene has remained mostly unchanged since the attraction's opening in 1967.
Show us your larboard side, dearie.
Harry, you're a pig.
Well, Al, when buying your winches at auction, it's a rookie mistake not to check the larboard side. And I'm pretty sure I caught a glimpse of her superstructure.
Going undercover with the pirates did some real damage to that moral compass of yours, bro.
Listen, if ye don't quit flapping your tongue like a scalawag by blue iron, I'll carve it out and I'll make it a mainsail.
Excuse me, Al, I don't know what came over me.
Dude, that was impressive cheering. Real quick, as we pass under this bridge by the winch scene, look up at that pirate sitting on the edge of the cobblestone bridge. He's totally making eye contact with you. Not gonna lie, I have no idea how they made it look like the pirate is looking into the eyes of everyone on the boat, but it gives me chills every single time.
I love that effect. Hey, check out that red-haired pirate on the left side of the boat. He's holding a treasure map and a key and saying he wishes he could see the look on Jack Sparrow's face to know that he has the map, and then Jack peeks his head out of the barrel and studies the map.
I see all of that. Yeah. If I was at home, I probably could see it in my mind's eye, too.
Well, when the attraction first opened, the red-haired pirate, or pooped pirate, as he's nicknamed, perched on top of the barrel holding a woman's slip, complaining that a mite too fast these light-footed winches be for the likes of an old swag-bellied pirate such as I. And a woman was peeking out of the barrel, not Captain Jack.
I love the line, swag-bellied. I appreciate that a pirate would say such a great thing.
Seems like something that I'll have to incorporate into my everyday speech.
Boy, if I don't feel schweg-bellied after that dinner at Panera Bread.
Yeah. That fettuccine Alfredo made me feel like a schweg-bellied old pirate.
Dude, in 1997, they recast that old poop pirate as a glutton in search for food, saying things like, I be looking for the fine pork loin, I be. And the lady in the barrel sadly became a cat.
Which was a missed opportunity in the show. I'm glad they made the pirate and the barrel interact together again when they did the refurb to add Jack Sparrow. Anyway, the original scene with the pirate holding a slip is still intact in Tokyo Disneyland and Disneyland Paris.
Leave it to the French to leave the racy stuff in.
You should see their most controversial scene that involves dipping a piece of bread into egg and frying it. Oh, the horror.
Isn't that just French toast?
You are an animal, Al. Oh, yeah. You're right, actually. You're right. That is just French toast. And I saw that at the hotel buffet this morning, not on Pirates of the Caribbean, on Disneyland Paris. What was I thinking?
Anyway, as we round the corner, we see this friend with the pigs. Harry, take a look at his costume.
It is super intricate. You know, Al, I heard that against the wishes of her bosses, the Alice Davis, who's the costumer and wife of Mark Davis, made a backup set of costumes and told her bosses that the costumes cost twice as much as they actually did. So when there was a fire that destroyed some of the costumes, Alice Davis came to the rescue with her backups, and now they always keep 2 to 3 backup costumes for each pirate.
Speaking of fires, we're now heading into the chaos of a city ablaze! Dude, this effect is amazing!
It's such a simple effect. But this attraction is so theatrical in the delivery of these show scenes that it's not a surprise that the fire marshal was afraid that people would panic in this scene because the fire effects were so real.
Here, give us the keys, you sorry little beast.
I say grab his ears.
Work him over to the noose. Go on now, hold it higher. Higher, I say, higher.
Mangy mutt.
This scene of the pirates enticing the jailer's dog with a bone on our right side is iconic. So much so that it's one of the show scenes that made it into the film adaptation.
I would argue that this is the most iconic scene in the attraction. I hear a rumor that some of the faces of these pirates in the penitentiary were inspired by WED janitors.
I didn't know that those were... That's interesting. That's kind of an awesome thing to know that your face is forever emblazoned.
Yeah.
Even though you were just considered a sanitation person.
It seemed like WED Enterprises was a really cool place to work back in the day.
I agree, man. This scene is so mesmerizing that I often forget that it's tied into the overarching narrative.
How so?
Well, when the pirates' first memories come to life, we see the Wicked Wench attacking the walls of the Spanish fort. Then we go behind the walls of that fort after the pirates have breached and see the pirates wreaking havoc throughout the colonial town. We then see the pirates set the town ablaze, and now we're floating underneath the burning town watching these imprisoned pirates trying to bribe their way out of becoming some pretty burnt buccaneers.
Wow, this is fantastic writing. I always saw this as mini scenes or vignettes of pirates' life, but it is awesome to see how there's a story arc that ties together the whole attraction.
Yep. And as we float through these burning cinders below, a world doused in flames, we're about to enter into the climax of our daring tale of adventure!
We pillage and plunder, we rifle and loot, break up the Aussie Snow-O!
Oh yeah, the final pirate shootout.
This scene is super hectic with all the flames and the shooting and such, but notice on the left side of the boat, hanging on the wall there, you see a Spanish shield.
Oh yeah, I see it.
Well, on that shield, in the middle of it, is the attraction's hidden Mickey.
It's really small, but it's definitely there.
Now, another one that I think is an unofficial hidden Mickey is, if you look over to our right here, you're going to see 3 barrels hanging down, attached by a rope. And in my opinion, they clearly are in the shape of a Mickey head. But I don't think that's an official hidden Mickey. I think that's a backside of water hidden Mickey. This scene really explains why pirates are pretty rare nowadays. Here they are in the middle of the burning wreckage of a city they've just sacked, and instead of collecting the booty and hightailing it out, they end up drunkenly fighting each other and presumably killing each other off.
I know, a giant firefight with the gunpowder barrels everywhere. That is kind of a dark yet oddly romantic way of viewing this scene. The life these pirates were made famous for eventually was the thing that ended them. Sounds kind of like the story of every hair metal band from 83 to 92.
Dude, let's get out of here before this place comes crashing down around us.
Over on the left side, we see the last image of Jack Sparrow as he piles high the booty forgotten by the drunk pirates fighting below.
This effect that we're going up is also really unique. This is the only waterfall in the world that you're able to ride up in a boat.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Walt said that since we traveled down into this world by waterfall, the only way to get out is by going up a waterfall.
I heard this was Walt's last and favorite attraction that he personally worked on.
It's true. I heard someone say that every new attraction was Walt's favorite since it was new. Walt loved the new innovations and technologies that helped tell some of Disneyland's greatest stories.
All this talk about innovation and technology is kind of ironic because WED employees pushed Walt through an early version of this attraction in an office chair. And Exotencio apologized that you couldn't hear exactly what all the pirates were saying. But Walt said he loved it that way. It felt like a piratey cocktail party, and it would give the guests something new to look for each time they rode.
Honestly, I feel like I almost always see some detail I never noticed before. This attraction gets better and better the more you ride it.
Like fine rum, maybe.
When your boat stops, please be stepping out to your right.
Well, I guess the worst part of the attraction is going back to the real world afterwards.
I know. I wish I could live in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
I know. And as long as we're wishing impossible things, I wish I had been sailing on the Columbia on the day this attraction opened.
What?
Oh, sorry. I was just doing some daydreaming there. On opening day, comedy legend Wally Bogue of Golden Horseshoe fame and a band of pirates took the sailing ship Columbia captive, forcing everyone on the ride into a pirate kidnapping.
Oh my gosh, that would have been incredible to experience.
I know. They even built a fake entrance for the attraction and broke through it after they took everybody off the ship.
Oh my gosh, stop telling me all these details about it. You're making me feel so much worse that I wasn't there.
Okay, bud. Well, we didn't even talk about everything we know about this attraction, but I think after storming the Spanish base, setting the town on fire, and surviving a drunken gunfight, we're just two pooped pirates ourselves.
Yeah. Let's ride it again.
I'm totally down, bro. But wait, before we go, folks, please follow us on Instagram, Twitter, subscribe to us on iTunes, and check out our podomatic.com so you never miss an episode.
And we also need to thank you so much for staying with us until the end of our adventure. We know it was a long journey, but it was necessary to take so much time to cover such an amazing attraction.
So until next time, as you exit, please watch your step and watch your head.
And if you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language. Okay, Al, come on. Let's ride this again, buddy.
Okay, Harry, I'm coming. Goodbye, folks. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Harry, wait up. Whoa. Just because you rode a pirate's ride doesn't mean you can steal that kid's churro. Dude, give that back.
Come on, it's just a kid. He's tiny. I can take this.
Dude, it's a kid.
Oh, fine. Here you go. Enjoy your day.
Well, here comes his parents. We gotta get out of here.